Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the He Gone Podcast, man. Of course, your guys, Scott, Mikey, and Dante, man. You know, follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at October Zone Tay, at Junior underscore Salito. Follow Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. Also, log into our website, man, thebcnet.com. Get your tickets for 719 Hallis 200, which is going to be at the Haymarket Pub and Brewery in the West Loop, man. We've got a lot of y'all cop tickets already, man. So let's keep them up. The VIP list has already been sealed. So the rest of you niggas who went on the VIP list, y'all got to pay for some of y'all drinks. So, you know, unless you are Barber's Chair content creator, I will sneak to y'all some drink tickets. But anyway, this is He Gone Podcast. We talk about the sorry ass Chicago White Sox. This is episode 13, and we just got done watching the most Chicago White Sox-ass game of the year. Before we get into this actual rundown, I have a rant. Now, I haven't let this team get to me much this year, because as I'm going to name this team, this episode, you are who you are. And this is just the White Sox are a 500-ass team. But what was annoying about this was you got the Minnesota Twins, who are getting absolutely shellacked by the fucking Milwaukee Brewers. And yes, we don't lose any ground. We still only three games out. But we're in the second half of the season. Games are going off the fucking schedule. You're not getting these shits back. So at this point, that's a win for the Twins. They're one day closer to being able to clinch the division. You got to win games like this against teams you're supposed to fucking beat. The base running that we saw from this team today, ridiculous. I don't know why the fuck Luis Garcia is still playing. And I don't know why we got the pitcher version of Luis Garcia, Jose Ruiz, in fucking high leverage situations. You know what I'm saying? I'm not getting that. Why the fuck is Eloy Jimenez not in the fucking lineup? You had an off day on Monday. You got an off day tomorrow. Play. Like, this is just too much shit that just gets on my fucking nerves. And even if you look at La Russa, you know, and we can sit over, you can blame Kendall Graveman. Kendall Graveman did bad, for sure. The players got to play. But there has to be a method to this shit. Why the fuck is Ruiz coming into the game when you just put up a fucking four spot in the inning? Or it was a four spot in the inning. You put up that many runs with two outs, and you take a two-run lead. You bring this dude in. He gives the lead. He cuts the lead in half right away. When you know what type of guy this is in those type of situations. Then after that, we bring Joe Kelly in, and then he gets injured. And that's a Han gave him a lot of money to be injured for the third time this year on the same fucking injury that we knew he had before he signed. That is organizational malpractice right there. So then he gets hurt, and then you bring Jimmy Lambert in for just one batter. And then you have the game closed with fucking Kendall Graveman, who is not good on back to backs to close the game. And it's not, I hate walks. I can accept it when a team is just hitting you. That's different. When you load the bases off walks, you're basically giving the other team the game. And now you sit up here, and it's just like same shit again. You get to 500, and then you get right. I mean, you get over 500, and you get right back down. At this point, you got to look at what this team is. This team is just a mediocre baseball team, and it just is what it is. We talked about this in the group chat earlier today. There is no trade that doesn't involve Juan Soto that is going to save these niggas in 2022. It is a wrap. They got to go down with the ship. And honestly, we talk about comparing this team to the 2019 Bears. This smells like 2020 Bears. Like, if they did find a way to get into the playoffs. And I saw somebody tweet today, well, it's the MLB playoffs. Anything can happen. We shouldn't be relying off anything can happen on a team that's supposed to be this talented in the middle of their fucking window. You're supposed to win it off talent, not fucking luck. Nobody want to hear that shit. What's the point of making the playoffs if you're going to be home before week five kickoff? Like, yeah, it's going to be a three-game series. And the funny shit here, I was talking this with my homie the other day. Let's just say they win the division. You hosting the three-game wild card series at U.S. Sailor Field Comiskey, whatever the fuck you want to call it. You know who the team you're probably going to play? The Seattle Mariners. That's a young, up-and-coming team, and I know they would beat us. There's not a doubt in my mind. You're going to hear, Julio Rodriguez, his third home run in the series. You can see type of shit like that. And I'm just honestly fed up, and I've never been more excited to watch a potential five-win football team more of my life than I am with the Bears. At least I know they're going to be ass. And that's all I have to say with my rant to kick this off. What y'all think, man?
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, it's time to face the music. This is a bad baseball team. This isn't the team that we came into the season that we said had World Series aspirations. That looks like a joke right now. And a lot of it, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. You know, we've had that topic on here before, who we going to blame. There's plenty of people that we can blame for it. But at the end of the day, this is just not a good baseball team. Like you said, the loss today was pretty much just this season in a nutshell, bro. Yeah. Like, they do a lot. They get your hopes up. They, you know, they make you think you're right there. And the next thing you know, the fucking bottom falls out and it's a wrap. So, I mean, like I said, I know we're going to get into it later on. But, I mean, with this team, it just – it's really like you – it is what it is. They are who they are. And – the manager's not going nowhere. So,
in the words of Avon Barksdale, the game is the game. You know, game is the game, bro. And y'all called this. I gotta give y'all. Y'all called this
in like April. Week two. In April. Fucking called it in April. That's a crazy thing. And I just keep looking back at it, and it's like, you know, you kept saying like, I'm gonna give him some time. I'll give him some time. But like me and Dante right away were like, nah, this is looking crazy. Like they regressed.
Dante has fully pulled away from this team. I'm the only nigga up here watching. This nigga out in Vegas, popping X, watching.
No, I still watch, but bro, it's just I'm completely disconnected. You are right about that because it's like these niggas. This is not a World Series ball club. This is crawling to the playoffs, losing the first round ball club.
They play like they've never played baseball before. It's crazy. Like just their awareness level, situational awareness in certain situations is just like, I don't get it. Like there's shit that I could blame that we could definitely sit here we could do a 5-hour podcast and sit here and blame Tony La Russa and blame Rick Hahn. We could do that. But man, at some fucking point, the players got to help their manager and their GM out. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck is Leury Garcia doing in that situation? That view from left field down the line, he was like 20 feet off the line. Like, what the fuck were you doing? Yeah. Like, I don't get it. Like, you know, like shit like that. Like the Abreu getting doubled off with the freeze if it's a line drive. They teach you that shit in Little League. They teach you that shit in fucking growing up. You're 10, 11 years old, 12. Freeze if it's a line drive. What did he think he was going to do?
The wildest shit is like we going off like this, and they like coming in today, they were 7-3 in their last 10 games. So yeah. Like they have been playing better. But
see, reality, I was going to tweet.
Think of how they got to this stuff.
But look, and that's my point too. Like, look, this is what I was going to tweet had we had won this game. This team is not fun, and even when they win, it's
trash.
It feels like they lost. Like even when they win,
the Chicago Bears, man, it feels like every Chicago sports team that we root for. Like there's no dominance. Like they don't do one thing well. Like I've been saying, they don't do one thing well. And in baseball, man, the one thing you can control is just don't give the other team the game. You know what I'm saying? Do not give them the game. And this White Sox team continuously gives people the game. They continuously make mental errors. Tim Anderson not touching second base on that. That's a double play. Luckily, we got out of it. But still, you know, that's just – that shit shouldn't happen. I don't care how many times you're an all-star. I don't care if you're the face of the franchise. That shit can't happen. You got too many mental lapses out there in the field. The base running is fucking ridiculous. Who does that fall on? Old-ass Joe McEwing? You know what I'm saying? I just don't get it. Like, if I was Joe McEwing, like, I would have been saying, like, back. Like, as I see Leury's lead get, I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, I would just been there like, back. Like, what are you doing before the pitch? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. It's not a fun team. It's a shit season, something that we had high hopes for. And they've been this way since April, since we seen them go up. They did all right that the first couple series. And once they started going up against the division, that's when everything came out. And it's crazy because this team has regressed. They're playing like
the worst part, bro. Like, they've regressed.
They've regressed to like Ricky Renteria, but before the pandemic.
Robert Ventura days, bro.
Yeah. It's inexcusable. So yeah, I'm with you though. Like, there is no point in going ahead and, you know, we'll get into it and talk to it. But this team is you are who you are.
You are what you are. With Bill Parcells. Terrible. Bill Parcells
fucking
said it.
Terrible.
You are what your record says. That's what they are. And like, and I know the automatic thing, and this is gonna sound like I'm giving La Russa a pass, which is not. I can't stand the dude, but I've seen a team win a championship in baseball in spite of their manager. Ned Yost was god awful in 2015. God awful. And but not only did they make the World Series year before, lost in the game seven, they came back and won. There was stuff, and I'm not saying that Tony had a part in today's loss with the way he managed that bullpen down the stretch, giving Leury García at bats. But the players got to play. Like you said, Mikey, the team has gotten worse. Tim Anderson, for as great as he is, he has one home run in the last, 3 months?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? One in the last 3 months.
I mean, you look at those numbers today, like when his line score, you know, his box score comes up, and you look at them numbers, it's like, yeah, you batted 303, but three home runs, you barely get, you know, the RBIs, it's like we said, like, man, you know what, man, if you got to move on from him, move on from him.
Move on from him.
I need legitimate production.
Yeah.
Okay, you get on base, you got a couple days where, you know, you 2-for-4, 3-for-4, you know what, but more often than not, you're going to get left out there and hung up to dry because ain't nobody bringing you in. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, I'm fucking pissed.
I got roped back in because I went a month without watching. And then these niggas played well enough the last two series of the season.
Now we only three watching. Out.
Yeah, and I'm like,
watching for like a week. I'm like, yo, no, fuck y'all ain't watching it.
You said you gotta suffer too.
But saying, no, every time Mikey would ask, we was watching, niggas would send a picture of what they were really doing. Like, yeah. No, I'm not watching this shit.
I'm over here watching Thrones.
I'm not wasting my fucking time. But
and then they cut it to three, and I'm like, I'm back.
And then and I sent them the photo. I was like, no, they can't keep getting away with this. No, like, no, you know what's gonna happen. You know what's about to happen. Like,
it's
don't even get your hopes up.
It's bad, man.
It's terrible.
It's bad, and then the worst part is I'm going to a White Sox game next month. But I was gonna say I'm not paying for the. I was like, I'm not paying for the ticket. Yeah, I'm not paying for the ticket, but I'll be buying concessions. So I'm still feeding Ryan's little pocket anyway.
But well, like this season, my main thing was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Since I travel for free, I'm gonna start flying and covering some White Sox games. I am not wasting my fucking time flying to cover this shit for what? Well, this is a waste of time, bro. Hell no.
Fly when they fire fucking Tony and Rick. Be there for that.
That's never gonna happen. That's the worst part too. Like, you know,
that's the worst part.
That's the worst part. Like, you know, and we talking about like, you know, playoffs. It's like, this is my fear. And this is like the fucked up thing about not just really White Sox, Chicago sports in general. Like, the Chicago Sky are the only team that's playing well right now for Chicago sports. But even with them, if you look at just the infrastructure of every Chicago sports team. Now, on the score this morning, it was Lawrence Holmes. There's two other people. I forgot their name. But they were talking about, why can't the Cubs be like the Yankees and the Dodgers? And I have a deeper question for you. Why can't Chicago sports teams spin and act like major market teams in general?
Across
the board.
Yeah, Cap had a take like that. I think on Monday, he was out. I guess he was out, whatever, in Wisconsin on vacation, and he was talking to somebody from out there, somebody that lives in Wisconsin that's looking down, you know, towards the city, and they're saying, "Man, you guys operate as if you're from here, you know, like, but everywhere, the Bulls, the Bears, you know, like
every team.
Bears are intentionally not giving their best player his money right now."
You know, like, there's literally, like, look at the landscape of Chicago sports. And they're acting like a middle market. There's nothing to be excited for outside of Justin Fields' potential and just seeing that. But look at the Blackhawks. They are absolute shit, and they're going to go back to being probably one of the worst run pro teams.
Not only are they shit, they're a franchise that used to be looked at as a great franchise, but they out here playing with little boys and shit.
They looked up their whole dynasty.
I was about to say, like, you really look at the Blackhawks, G, like, outside of, you know, I'm not going, well, you can't really take away that run they had, but they're like, they remind me of the Baltimore Orioles in the sense that they're a franchise
terrible.
That was historic, you know, known for winning, and then it's just been a whole bunch of bullshit ever since.
You know, like, but back, like, when we were, like, younger, their games weren't even on TV.
They weren't even on TV.
No, they weren't on TV.
They were rated, like, the most, the worst organization in all sports. You look at that. Look at what the Cubs are doing. They're not trying to spend. They're not trying to do anything. You look at what the Bulls, it's the same shit. It really does feel like
the last... I'm not trusting the Russian.
You know, I'm not trusting that Russian. Not yet, man. He is suspect. So, you know, like, they're all right. The Bulls are just, they're a six seed, and, you know,
they're a playoff team.
That's what they are. They're fringe playoff team. Yeah. Good, you know, they got some guys that, like, everybody loves in Chicago. Blue collar, Alex Caruso, diving shit. Everybody.
And I'm tired of that blue collar shit. Goddamn points. What's the fucking games?
I need some motherfuckers on the court that get DUIs and then they come back and they get 50. You know what I'm saying? I need some killers.
Yeah, man.
But to your point, that's one of the worst. That's one of the main issues with Chicago sports is that so many of our fans buy into that blue collar bullshit, so they can sell us mediocre players.
Mediocre,
because
you
ever notice, like, whenever it's time to trade somebody, people are like, no, he's a Chicago guy.
We can't
guy.
Trade
he
Caruso.
Can't
he's
get
a Chicago
the fuck
guy.
Out of here. Like, no, why, there's no
it's,
Chicago
it's,
guy.
It's the city. It's the city of Chicago. Why are the Cubs and why are the White Sox not in on Juan Soto? Why is Bryce Harper choosing Philly? Why is Manny Machado choosing the Padres?
San Diego.
Why is he choosing San Diego? You know, why is Zach Wheeler saying, nah, I'm going to go to the Phillies? Why are guys not coming there? Why are they always getting, you know, why do the Bulls have to mortgage a lot of the future to go get Vooch just to say, you know what I'm saying? Just to be like, hey, you know, we're serious, you know? Like, the White Sox have this prime window because the Central is ass. The Twins are not good.
If the Twins were any type of good team, we'd be out 11, 12 games right now.
The Guardians are not good because, you know what? They've been in that little same 2 to 3
as
games.
We have.
Same as us. Whoever makes it out the Central is going to be gone before week 5. That's it. So, you know, but why are they not, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. You go on a weekend game to the Sox, and I get it. They talk about the fans. Why is it that there's only 28,000 there? But that's why. That's why Jerry's not spending, because he's not getting any of that money. He's not selling out every game. You know, and that's fucked up. Then the Cubs sell out every game. They still don't want
to
spend.
But here's the thing, too, and I shout out to homie Sean. Of course, he's been on this podcast before. We had this big argument, like, maybe even, like, when the rebuild first started. Like 2016, it's probably like right after Chris Sale got traded, and we argued about the attendance thing. And here's my thing: the thing about Cub fans, and I know Cub fans don't like to hear this, and I'm not saying they're not diehards or anything like that. But if you look at Cubs fans, it's not about Cub baseball; it's about Wrigley Field. It's about the experience. When you go, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a Cub fan, but there's a hella bars over there. You know what I'm saying? You can kick it. It don't matter if the Cubs lose. You had you a good time. You know, throw the shit up on the gram, da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? With the White Sox, if you're coming to a White Sox game, you're coming to see the game. You know what I'm saying? It's because there's nothing else around that shit but the fucking Dan Ryan. And so you have Ryan, so people don't come every night. Well, also, you're not putting a great product on the fucking field. If you're putting – if Reinsdorf put the amount of money that a big market owner is supposed to put in the team, I guarantee you that fucking stadium would be packed. If you had a Bryce Harper out there, if you had a Manny Machado out there, if you had, you know, a Juan Soto, you know what I'm saying? Like, we talk about – you know how the Mets are like the little brother to the Yankees? The Mets would be – we'd be the little brother to the Mets.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just that type of shit in Chicago sports in general that is annoying. Like, people praise the Bulls re-signing Zach Levine. That's the shit they're supposed to fucking do.
The Los Angeles Angels are the little brother of that entire state, and they still find a way to go out there and give Anthony Rendon $250 million. They still find a way to give Mike Trout money. They still find a way to nab Shohei Ohtani.
And don't nobody go to them games.
Don't nobody go to those games. They're the little fucking brother of that state. People fucking forget there. It's really, you know, Dodgers, Giants, Padres, whatever AAA affiliate, then you go to the Angels. You know what I'm saying? But why do they
spend? The Clippers and Chargers are more important than the Angels.
No, I'm about to say, bro, we the fucking Donald Sterling Clippers. That's really what the White Sox are. They're the Donald Sterling Clippers, bro. It's a team that it has all the all the potential in the world to do that shit.
So we got all the Scott.
On all the potential in the world to be a world-class organization, and you just don't see it because you have an owner who does not care. Like, as much as, you know, he tries to deny it, that come in second place every year quote, I believe that 1,000%.
Oh, I believe
he
that
said that. I guarantee he said that with the biggest fucking grin on his face when he was telling that man that shit. So when you have that, like we always say every week, it starts at the top. So, like, no matter how much they feel like – we honestly, like, you know, 2005 was lightning in a bottle. You had a manager in Ozzie who could whip that group of players into shape. And
we have not had a good manager since him.
And with them, I was about to say, with this team, you don't have a manager who can get the most out of this talent. So you're getting a mediocre ball club. You're getting a team that's dead. You're getting, I mean, as much as you say, Scott, you know, players got to play, I feel you, but he fucks up a lot.
Oh, I'm not taking any blame from him. If we had to dish out blame, I'm blaming 60% of the players. I'm giving the other 40 to LaRusso and Hahn. That's what's going for me and Reisdorf. Yeah. The players got to play, bro. Look, you could put who's the best manager in the game to y'all right now?
I don't know. Because, I mean, I don't know because, you know, like how you say, Scott, managers, you can win intentionally. Like, nobody really pays attention to the managers. Nobody knew who Kevin Cash was until he fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The best manager in the game right now would have to be.
See, we don't even know.
You know, because it really doesn't fucking matter.
And that's my point. Like, you could have the greatest manager in there. That's not going to stop. Jose Abreu from grinding double plays, all that. That's not going to stop Tim Anderson from fucking up on defense.
You need a guy that elicits confidence in his players, that can rally the troops, that can hold motherfuckers accountable, that'll go to bat for your guys. Tony La Russa he fucked up last year with the Yermin shit, and that was fresh off. You know, he had just got in there, and he fucked up with the Yermin shit, and that shit kind of fucked up the locker room. But you need a guy, you know, to go out there and fucking, you know, like, there's no reason. I'm telling you, man, I know Tim Anderson is a shortstop in the face of the franchise. His ass should have been benched at least twice this year for some of the shit he's pulled on the field. This base running shit, Leury should not see the fucking field. Gavin Sheets should not be getting at bats in the
Robert
should have
been benched after that little 2 weeks of mishap.
Got to hold people accountable. Grant Dahl never being able to catch the ball. Sebi Savala never being able to catch the ball at the plate. What the fuck is going on? And why is there always an excuse? Yeah. Why every time you hear from Tony, it's, oh, you know, but did you see those at bats talking about Leury like he's fucking Babe Ruth?
Yeah, but one thing I will say, when I was thinking about any answer for the best manager in the game, they have a front office that spends money. When you look at Dave Roberts, like, he makes some questionable decisions, but they have the talent to overcome some of the decisions he makes, but he makes really good decisions. You know, you say what you want about him, but they've been to what? How many NLCSs in a row? Or four out of the last five or whatever the fuck it is?
They've been in NLCSs since I moved here.
They've been parked in the NLCS, bro.
I guess Dusty.
And I'm about to say, and Dusty too. Dusty. Like, even with Dusty, or like, if you
can, here's the difference between Dusty and La Russa. Both of them are old ass managers, but Dusty knows how to adapt to today's game. Tony is, nigga, I got this many rings. I'm a 2-time Hall of Famer. I know the game of baseball. I don't need to be taught on this shit. And that's the problem. One of the many problems with this fucking team. And it's just like, you know, I think Steve Stone said something the other day, I think it was when they lost the second game to Cleveland. No, they beat Cleveland on Sunday, whatever it was, Saturday. And he said that, you know, when they had that game that the Cleveland got walked off, and they was in the clubhouse with, like, no music going, depressed. And Tito was like, yo, y'all play hard, turn that music back on. We'll get them back tomorrow. That's shit that a good manager does. Keep them over. Like, Tony would never do no shit like that. And it's just so many problems. Like, it's annoying as a fan when you know, oh, we just fixed this one problem, we're good. There's so many problems to fix with this team that you just can't just fix. You just can't point on one. The owner's bad. You got a vice president who's got one foot out the door. Like, his contract up, Kenny's retiring. You got a lame duck GM. You got a manager who's way past his prime. And you got underachieving players. It's just overall just a big fucking mess.
Nah, it's fucking upsetting. It wasn't, you know, like, we all came in with different expectations. My thing was, like, I just wanted to see them win a playoff series because they have yet to do that. But it's just it's disappointing, man. Like, there's no reason you should be losing that game. It's no, you know, there's no reason that Senzalia, whatever his fucking name is, should be pitching 7 innings and you only got 2 runs. They finally got on him. But there's no reason that you should be letting the Colorado Rockies hang in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I didn't get to hear the post game. Or was there a reason that Liam Hendricks was unavailable?
He threw too many pitches yesterday.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And he also said he didn't like adjust to the altitude well. Like he was throwing up and shit.
We got motherfuckers that can run. We got a short. we got a shortstop that literally has said, "I need to take days off from my legs." We got fucking an old ass senior citizen in the dugout wearing Depends and a fucking uniform, and now we got a fucking closer who can't fucking breathe out there. Come on, man.
A very, very high price.
And we got Joe Kelly that we signed him, gave him money, knowing that he was going to miss the first 2 months of the season with nerve damage in his neck and in his arm.
But hey, remember, and now they finna go to the
but the bullpen
is the issue, biggest need. We spent $36 million on the bullpen, but you know what? It's still the biggest need. Like, that's why this team is fucked. We spent 30 minutes without even touching the rundown. This team is terrible.
I'm looking at the rundown like, okay, Moncada heating up. Okay, cool. I guess even with the trade deadline shit, it's like, okay.
It's blatant. Don't do shit. Don't sell shit. You know, what's the point of going and trading for a Frankie Montas, a Luis Castillo, and giving up, you know, Colson Montgomery now? You're not going to win shit this year. You know what I'm saying? It'll probably only buy you, sneak you into the playoffs via the wild card, or maybe you win the division, and then you're getting smoked. That's it. But there's no point in selling any assets off. If anything,
this division is going to be decided in the last week. Like, if y'all look at the schedule, we played Minnesota like two out of our last three series.
We still got a lot of games.
It's one of those things. Like, if they've added two extra playoff spots, if you can't make the playoffs with the roster you came into this season with that was expected to win the fucking division, don't do anything.
World Series contender, remember? We'll see. We'll talk about the parade. Remember Rick Hahn was saying that bullshit? Like,
it's ridiculous. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, if last year didn't make them, you know, look back, take a step back and look in the mirror like we thought it would, this year has to wake everybody up.
We all talk about expectations, bro. Like, last year, it's not like last year we lost like a close series to the Astros. We got our asses beat, nigga.
Smoked.
We got outclassed. Like, the one game we won, we had to come back from 5 runs. You know what I'm saying? I remember being in Vegas for the Bears-Raiders game, walking from Allegiant Stadium, and I tweeted, "What's the score?" And they were like, "Y'all niggas down 5-0.
Yeah, I was there. I told you. I said, don't turn it off. You can probably score it. I literally said, enjoy Vegas. Don't turn the game off.
And I didn't. I didn't turn it off. I went to my room. I didn't have the TV on. I went to sleep, and I woke up to Mad Texas. I ain't tired of the game. And when I woke up was when I saw the Lurie home run. And then I remember the next game got rained out because I was on my way back to Vegas. On my way back to LA, it rained out. And then next day, game was over in like fucking the third inning.
Yeah. Game was over in the second inning. Los was already at like 52 fucking pitches, and that was it. Yeah, man. It's not fun, man. We're going to have to start talking about some other shit.
We're going to have to switch to baseball in general.
Yeah. When I say Pete Alonso just hit a bomb, my nigga.
Yeah, he is. Must be nice. Must be fucking nice, man, to have a great player that does these hoes doing an owner who doesn't give a fuck about spinning. Like, that's got to be fucking amazing. And, you know, the worst people live the longest. Like, this nigga like 90, smoking cigars at every fucking game, and he's still here.
Yeah, bro. Like, I'm really envious of people who have like the young billionaire owner versus the old billionaire owner, because it's a completely different mindset. All these venture capitalists got a shitload of money, want to just spend it.
Chadwick Boseman and Jerry Rice.
Yeah, man, give me that motherfucker.
Yeah. He want to buy the A's, bro.
He said the only thing I'm interested in is winning. We got a 50%, like he mentioned, the only thing I'm interested in is winning. We've been to the finals like 50% of the time in the year since he's owned, and he will do whatever the fuck it takes. If it means he's going to go hop on a jet and take Steph and Draymond with him and try to get KD, he probably will do it. All he gives a fuck about is winning, and he's blatantly said it. When has any fucking White Sox person ever said that? It's, when the time is right, we'll know. Or we had a seat at the table. Get the fuck out of here.
You know what's funny? And James Dolan is a terrible owner, but one thing you can't see about James Dolan is he's cheap. He just spends the money on the wrong players. The nigga spends money. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the problem. And like I said, like, you know, We lost so many people over these last couple years. We lost Kobe, we lost Chadwick Boseman, but this nigga still him.
Yeah.
J. Rondo's still him. You know what I'm saying? What's going on?
Don't trip. That monkeypox is around.
Like, man, what's going on? But, you know, as I'm trying to, like, you know, try to flip this rundown to what we're talking about right now, because I have no positive things to say about this motherfucker. So instead of us talking about trade deadline needs, because we all know what this team needs, they need a whole fucking makeover. What's your realistic expectations for what you think Hahn is going to do as we sit here a week from now? What would this roster look like a week from now?
Judging by, you know, what we've seen the White Sox do and what they do, this motherfucker is going to actually try to trade for bullpen help. He's not going to address any real need. He's going to, you know, do another, you know, real surface level move, some shit that he says, you know, well, we think this will help us and, you know, bolster us until X, Y, and Z gets healthy. But it'll be more the same. So I don't expect much from Rick at this point. Like I said, we 10 years in and the man's won, what, like, two playoff games or some shit. Like, it's terrible. It's to the point where it's more, we can really count the misses more than the hits. So I'm not expecting much at all, bro.
Yeah, I'm not expecting much at all. I mean, so he said last week bullpen was the number one
was imperative.
Okay, so Raylo's got a back. Now Joe Kelly's out. Liam Hendricks can't breathe. He's going to go against a bullpen. You know what I'm saying? Now he's going to go, whether that is Jose Quintana, you know, because he emphasized a lefty arm, and Jose has, you know, done the reliever thing since he's left us in different spots. I mean, that could be a buy low. I mean, what are you giving up for him? I mean, what gets you a Jose Quintana? Maybe like a lower level, like double-A player, maybe like a Gavin
Sheets. Even the thing with like Jose Quintana is like, what does he help? Like, is he, do you think he's bullpen? Do you think he's a starter?
It all depends. I mean, if Michael Kopech is like looking like shit, then I think you might have to give
it. Giolito looking like how he's looking right now.
Man, I mean, you know, what are they looking at? Another starter or the bullpen? They're going to say that Giolito kept the game manageable, kept it to a one-run game, and then the bullpen is what blew this game, right? Like, if we're watching the game, that's what it looks like. So they're going to go to the bullpen. I think there is an obvious need for starting pitching. I think that's going to have to just get addressed in the offseason. I think all of the major moves that they need to do are going to have to get addressed in the offseason. They're going to have to sit back and look, and they're going to have to address the starting pitching. They're going to have to address the outfield legitimately. They're going to have to address the lack of left-handed bats, impact left-handed bats. You know, not just Gavin Sheets getting at-bats just because.
Not just left-handed bats just because they're left-handed bats. Left-handed bats were actually good.
Exactly. So, I mean, realistically, you know, there's a couple relievers out there. There's a Matt Moore. There's a Chafin. There might be somebody from the A's they could try to get. I mean, you know, they might be able to go out there and get a lefty, but they
need like that Stone Cold video. Boring.
They need like four legitimate moves, and I don't think they have the assets to do it or the balls to go out and do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to take a lot. Colson Montgomery coming into this year was not a top 100 prospect.
Now he is.
Now he's like a top 50. If you were to trade off of him, so it makes, just realistically, it makes no sense to trade him right now unless it is for like a Juan Soto. Like, if you traded him for Frankie Montas or Luis Castillo,
stupid.
I don't like that, because chances are, with another year under his belt, he might turn into a top 20, top 15 guy, you know? So you'd be selling him. You're not even getting the maximum return for him. So, okay, you take Colson off the list. They're not trading Andrew Vaughn. You take him off the list. Are they trading Eloy Jimenez? I realistically don't think
so. What do you think Oscar Colas' trade value is, if any?
I think it's up there, but I think it's Colson Montgomery. I think as far as people, it would be Andrew Vaughn, Colson Montgomery, Oscar Colas. I mean, I think Cespedes could be had if, you know, like if the right deal approaches, but I don't know what they're going to get. Like, I wanted them to go and get like a David Peralta to put in left field or something, like, or to put in the outfield, and that's a left-handed bat with some pop. But, you know, look at the standings right now. There's a bunch of teams right now. If you go on Fangraphs, their playoff probabilities are pretty much cemented. The Yankees are going to the playoffs. The Astros are going to the playoffs. The Padres are going to the playoffs. The Dodgers are going to the playoffs. I believe the Mets, the Braves, like there's some teams in there that the probabilities are over like 75-80%. So, okay, there's eight teams already that are locked into the playoffs. You just got to figure out the seeding. So what does that leave? Four teams that are on the outside, the two wild card teams, right? Yeah.
But so even that, but even with that, with the extra wild card, it's going to be hard. A lot of teams ain't going to be willing to trade guys.
The teams that are going to be most aggressive are the teams that haven't been there in the recent time. So maybe the Orioles.
Like Seattle. No, definitely Seattle. 20 years.
Definitely Seattle. They're going to try to go get.
If I was Seattle, I'd go get Soto.
They're going to try to get a Soto. They're going to try to get a starting arm. They're going to try to get a Luis Castillo and a bat. You know what I'm saying? They might be able to get like Luis Castillo and Drury from the Reds. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll probably give up a Jared Kelenic or something. You know what I'm saying? Like they got guys to go and make a move. So you got thirsty teams. I mean, what's going to happen with Boston? If they keep losing, are they just going to trade everybody? There's talks that they don't want to pay Xander or Rafael. That's fucking crazy. Yeah. So I feel like we're right now at a standstill in with the trades going on, and I think some of it is Juan Soto. The rest of it is why outbid myself. If I'm the Yankees, why outbid myself for an Andrew Benintendi or you know what I'm saying? Let me just let the market shape. So what are the Sox gonna do? The Sox are the thirsty ones because they're trying to leapfrog two teams to try to get the division. If not, then they're competing with teams that are just playing better baseball than them.
Yep.
You know, the Mariners. Who else is in the the Orioles? I don't think the Orioles are gonna make it.
But see, the Orioles, they've already won this season because it's like, you know, nobody expects them to be this good. They've got a nice young core, and for them, just making it. Like I tweeted this yesterday, they're the fun team.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know sports words, fun team is cold for they huff, but they're entertaining. That's basically
the Seattle Mariners last year.
Yeah, that basically my expect what I hope the Bears are. The Bears can be a fun team. That's a good season for me. You know what I'm saying? So they're the team where, like, they're playing with house money. They get in, that's awesome. With the White Sox, they're by far the most disappointing team in the major leagues. Like, even if you watch, like, if you ever watch the White Sox national TV broadcast, it'd be funny because the announcers be stunned if these niggas stink.
Well, like, I mean, it was Len Casper who calls the radio games and then AJ, and then it's still like we don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
And they're around like all the time. So I would say that the two most disappointing teams obviously would be the
I think it's the Blue Jays.
But I mean, the Blues are, they're the wild card. They're the number one wild card team.
But people had them as like number two, top two.
Yankees. The Yankees have already won 100 games, and it's fucking not even August 1st. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so who's the second disappointing team? It's not.
I would say realistically the Phillies.
Texas. I say Texas.
No, I wouldn't say Texas.
I knew there was going
to
be.
Everybody said they just spending money over there, whatever.
Just to spend money.
I would say realistically, you would have to say the White Sox, the Phillies, and the Angels. The Angels were in playoff contention to start and just went on a 12-13 game.
But that's Angels baseball.
Correct, but they had some hype going. I picked them to be a wild card team. I thought they were going to figure it out, but I would say the Phillies. I mean, the Phillies have to be. They went and got Castellanos. They got Schwarber. They got Bryce coming off of an MVP year. You know, like that. I would have to say the White Sox and the Phillies, and then everything. You know, for legitimate playoff teams, there's nobody that's surpassing the White Sox. They had a winnable division. We all said it was going to be a more competitive division, which it has been, but we still said the White Sox, and it's true, if healthy, when they roll out their starting nine, they're fucking better than everybody else in the division, but they're just beating themselves.
And you bring up my number one fear right here. What scares me more than anything is we get through this season, whether they made the playoffs, go home or not, whatever, is that they look at this roster and say, well, if we can just get healthy. That's my fear. It's not a health thing, bro. Yes, health is part of it. But that's like a lot of teams get injured in Major League Baseball. A lot of teams get injured. They can stay afloat. Shit, the fact that the Padres are pretty much a shoe-in for the playoffs and they had their best player all fucking year, that to me is like I'm not trying to hit none of the White Sox shit. Like, this is a fundamental problem. And I don't have enough faith in Rick Hahn to look at this roster like, okay, not only did we not – match our play of last year, which wasn't great, period, we got worse. So let's make some. He's not a bold enough GM to say, you know what? I'll take calls for Tim Anderson. You know what? I'll go up there and I'll give some prospects to get a guy like Juan Soto.
I'll give up Lucas Giolito. Yeah, I'll trade Lucas Giolito right now. There's some people that need arms. You know what? Let me see what the feelers are. You know, like
he's not aggressive. And like, even if you don't want to pay Soto, whatever, you got 2 years of this nigga.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying, not only that, let's start being realistic. Cause first of all, if we want to trade for Juan Soto, we're going to have to give more MLB ready players than prospects. Cause we got the worst farm system in baseball. Like, we got two or three prospects that names may ring a few bells, but for the most part, they're going to have to give, like you said, give like a guy like a Giolito. You might have to give up Michael Kopech. You have to give up guys like that to get a Soto, because we don't have that. That's the frustrating part, because we've built a roster that was so heavily reliant on all of our prospects hitting. And when it was time for them to spend the money, when the years they said the money will be spent, the money wasn't spent correctly. Like, you got to think, when you look at the pieces we missed, if you had a Manny Machado, you could have kept Yoan at second. If you have Bryce Harper, that's another left-handed power bat. That's some all of the pieces. What?
It's a right fielder, something we've never had.
All of the pieces that you've wanted have been out there, but you just haven't signed them. You haven't went and got them and added them to that team.
A second baseman.
You know, bro. Anybody. And like now,
you know what's funny? Second baseman was one of our main problems a year ago, and we still ain't solved it.
No, it's a joke. So, like, when you see the way it's built, when you see that, it's hard for you to look at the roster and say, okay, well, if they just do this, that, and the third. Because, I mean, when you look at the, like we keep saying, the moves they've made, they've given up on talent, sending it to other teams, and that talent has played well for those teams. So, at this point, I don't trust Rick Hahn to do anything right. Like, I don't
at all, man. It's just very frustrating time to be a. Well, it's always frustrating to be a White Sox fan, but it's extra right now.
You know, it sucks right now because it feels like we're. I don't think we're getting to the point where there's apathy for the franchise, but I think we're at the. I think we've all hit that fork in the road where all three of us know that it sucks because we thought we had a window, right? I think all three of us would rather at this point right now. If you told us at the end of the year, would y'all rather? I think a lot of us would be for firing the manager, firing the GM, and bringing somebody in and letting some changes being made, and just coming back again next year, 2024. You know what I'm saying? Realistically, because I think right now, like, they're just gonna try to keep piecemealing it with lower quality players because that's what they do.
It's like a car that needs a new engine, and you keep taking this shit to the fucking shop. It needs a new fucking engine. Like, you spending money on repairs when it don't matter when the engine is fucked up. The team needs a new fucking engine.
Yeah, bro. It's just not working. It's not working. They acquired the talent. They had a couple. They've acquired the talent, and they've gotten better than where they were. But now they've just hit a wall. And who is responsible for getting them over that wall, that hump, and who's going to be the one to do it? Who is going to be the one to make the bold decisions and you know, and have to trade some people or lose their job and bring somebody else in to reevaluate it? Like, you know, you might have to. I don't know, man. I wish Oscar Colas was fucking in AAA right now. You know, right. I wish he was in AAA right now so we could just call him up and I can,
man,
you know,
breath of fresh air.
Have some excitement. You know what I'm saying? But realistically, the guys that are our guys, they're a while away. Maybe Colas.
3 years away, bro.
Maybe Colas next year, end of the year, August, September, we're talking. Maybe he comes up. But, you know, Colson Montgomery, no. You know, any of those pitchers, no. Like, it's just I don't see how they're going to get better throughout this season. And quite frankly, they can make as many moves as they want. This is just not their year, man. It's just not their year. They're not playing clean enough baseball. And they're just – Like Dante said, there's holes all over. So you're not going to repair that with one trade deadline.
No, not. And that's the more, like, they got to wear it. They got to wear it. They got to wear it. But when you wear it, you got to have accountability in the offseason. And I don't think there's going to be any accountability. I think they're going to bring Tony back. They're going to blame injuries. Or maybe if our bullpen ain't down, they're going to spend some more money on that. But ignoring the fundamental issues with this team. And it's the same fucking issues we had coming to this fucking season. The lineup is too right-handed. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing with that?
So in your eyes, Scott, what would accountability look like for you?
Accountability for me would be
like, say we get to the end of the year, we didn't make the playoffs. Say we didn't make the playoffs, boom. Well, tell me what accountability is happening in October.
Kind of like if I was Rick Hahn or just
No, okay. as how you want to see it. Tell me
okay.
how. You
okay, okay. So this is what I want to see. Season's over. We don't make the playoffs. You make it barely. You know, you get home in a week. Number one thing you can do: you got to fire Tony La Russa and you got to fire Frank Minichino. Both of them got to go. La Russa is past his prime. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to, you know, call him, you know, I'm not going to disrespect what he's done in his career. He's a great manager all time. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has done his thing. Like I said, it's past his prime. Phil Jackson's the greatest basketball coach ever. You going to bring this nigga back to coach the Grizzlies?
What?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you're not going to do that. So, and Frank Minichino needs to go. Like, even if you decide to keep La Russa for one more year, Frank got to go. This offense is bad. You know, I want to see the record of this team, what it's like when they actually hit multiple home runs. Because I know it's a good record. Ball go far, team go far. The team can't hit. And so, like, and if you look at Frank Minichino's career, when has he ever had a great offense? Never. So, I got to see them two go. You got to look at your roster, and you got to make some honest decisions. If you feel, yo, Tim Anderson needs to do better defensively, you need to ask this nigga, yo, maybe you should move to second base. And we go out there and we spend money on legitimate shortstop. If he doesn't want to do that, maybe you should go out there and listen to some offers. Lucas Giolito, he had a great, you know, I feel like his pinnacle was 2019 and the little shortened season of 2020. He's an average starter. He's the third or fourth, really, I think a fourth guy on a championship team. He's not that good. You need to go out there, see what offers you can get from him. You need to go out there and get rid of this so right-handed heavy lineup. Go get you some left-handed bats who can fucking hit. Go get you another starter. You got to address every situation. Get you a legitimate DH. Like, this team is just like, you know, it's just all over the fucking place. They really thought that they were going to run into a championship. They thought because the Cubs did that little rebuild, the Royals did that rebuild, and the Astros did the rebuild, that's how it's going to happen. Forgetting that the Cubs almost jacked. They almost, like, they were down 3-1 in 2016. They had that one of the greatest comebacks ever. And after they won, that core didn't do shit after that.
If you ask Cubs fans right now, I ask my guy, I said, man, if I were to tell you right now, everything you know, and after 2016, 2017, that in 2022, you would have literally nobody left from that team, and y'all would be on the verge of losing 100 games. Would you believe me? And he was like, nope.
Exactly. So, for me, accountability is looking at this roster with an honest look and like, we got to change a lot of shit. Because this is a bad division. It's going to be a bad division next year. I don't even think Carlos Correa is going to be on the team. I think he's going to opt out and get him some more money elsewhere. This is going to be a bad division for a long time. Even look at the team who everybody thought was on the rise. Detroit stinks.
Everybody is for sale.
Everybody's
for sale. You want Tariq Skubal? You want any of our arms? You want any of our position players? You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's available.
I haven't heard about none of their prospects this year. That Javi Baez signing is looking terrible. So there's no other team in the rear view who's going to be on your ass anytime soon.
The only other team that's playing well, but they suck, like, they have flashes, is the Royals, you know, because they let in Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, but even then, they got a long road before they're a competitive team.
Oh, a very long road. Yeah.
So you should look at that and take advantage of that. Spend money. And it's really not about, like, when you said, Dante, the money be spent. You're spending it in the wrong places. Even the guys we wanted who could have made this team better weren't that expensive. No. You know what I'm saying? You could have paid for those guys. And that's, to me, what accountability would be. But since I know his front office, since I know Chicago sports, that's not going to happen. I don't see that happening. And you're going to waste the fucking window, which is ridiculous.
I hate him, G.
Dante still got his mic. Dante got your mic on mute.
That's still this team, this franchise in a nutshell, bro. Like, just goofy shit. So, I mean, it's disappointing, but that's our reality. And I think the sooner we come to that understanding as a fan base, you'll start to get a different reaction, and hopefully that will lead to a different result.
Is it next year the last year for Lance Lynn?
No, he signed a 2-year extension, right?
Yeah.
So 2024. All right, so he'll be going into his last year, and he's 30-something. You gotta rebuild
that rotation, man.
I said it last year. I said we needed three new starters. You know what Cease was going to be. Hey, Dylan Cease, he's looking like that guy. So okay, who are you gonna build around him? I'm gonna see what we get from Kopech, and then maybe the beginning of next year. But they might just need to make evaluation on him and say, hey, listen, he might not be a starter.
Bro, I was about to say,
level, you know, and I had told you this before. Yeah. I remember, and they, you know, it was like, hey, it's a little, you know, but sometimes when you see shit, you just see shit, yeah. You know, and it's just like, he might just be, it might just benefit us more.
He might be a bullpen guy. Look at Ronaldo Lopez. He's not a starter, but he found a nice spot in the bullpen.
Yeah. But I still think with Kopech.
Let Joe Kelly go and let Kopech be that guy.
Yeah, but I still think with Kopech, it's a matter of like the way he's been handled this entire time. I haven't been agreeing with it. So like, when you can't just ramp him up in those innings the way that they did and expect, you know, to see that. So I think it's a guy, I would give him another year as a starter before I make that decision. But I agree, and I can see why you say that. But at the same time, the way they've handled Kopech has been terrible this entire time. Like it's been ridiculous. So I'm not surprised that he's hit this wall as hard as he's hit it. Because like we were talking about it the other day. You know, his fastball was sitting at 94, 95. Like,
consistent. That's crazy.
And he couldn't really push it. We've seen him in games earlier this season push it to 98, 99 consistently. And he hasn't been able to do that. So I think a lot of that goes with how the White Sox have handled him.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you. I want to go over the series preview next couple series. And also, about that, I want to spend like 10 minutes on just like the rest of the fucking league because fuck these niggas. So we got, you know, two home series, one road series coming up. We got three against the Oakland A's, three against Kansas City Royals, and we're going to roll for three against Texas Rangers. Now, we've all looked at the schedule. Now, this is the easy part of the schedule. And this is why I say with a mediocre team, when you're a 500 team, there's no such thing as the easy schedule because you're not that good enough to take advantage of this. A good team doesn't lose today. A good team sweeps this terrible Rockies team and going home and take care of business against the Oakland A's. And on top of that, they're a bad home team. I think we're like 21-7 right now.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. We are not good at home.
Which is nuts considering we were the best home team in the American League last year. That was their bread and butter, a majority of where their wins came from. So what do you guys see, like, you know, and like you said, Dante, the 7-3 in their last 10 games. So they have been playing better. You know,
six and four after they lost today.
They went 10-9 in that streak, that 19-game streak against the other division. What do you guys think happens in these next three series? I mean, they're three out. They're out three, and this is like a tough part of Minnesota's schedule too.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're about to face an A's team that just swept the Astros.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure did.
They just swept the Astros, and it wasn't really even close. So you know, they're going to avoid Montas. They're going to avoid Cole Irvin. So you're throwing out there, I believe it's Lynn Friday, Cueto Saturday, C Sunday. You have to sweep. You got to sweep. I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck. I mean, I understand they just swept the Astros, but you're at home. You have to find a way to sweep. You cannot continue to drop games and split series with teams that you have no business splitting with. You know, then you go into the series with the Royals. Pesky. You know, or is it the Royals or the Rangers?
It's the Royals first, then it's
Royals. Royals. Pesky team, division team. We know how that goes.
We got an under 500 record against the Royals this year.
Yeah, we do. They've been beating our ass.
Under 500 record against everybody in the
low key.
You know, you know, and the Royals, they steal bases. I think yesterday they stole like six bases. So that's going to be a team that's going to be on our ass on the base pass. We're going to throw Giolito is going to go against them. There cannot be no easy passes. You know what I'm saying? Granted, we have the trade deadline coming up, so they might be down Benintendi. They might be down Whit Merrifield. You know, so we have to see what goes there. That's another thing coming up with the next few series. I know the best pitcher for the Rangers right now is Martin Perez. There's talks that he's on the deadline, so we might avoid
catch motherfuckers at the right time.
But at the end of the day, I'm tired of that because it's like that Bears theory. Oh shit, we're getting the Ravens without Lamar. we're getting the Saints without Drew. It don't matter. Whoever's coming in is gonna put their foot on our ass. So the Sox just need to take care of their own business, man. And I think they need to, like I told y'all, they need to have a 6-1 type week. Today needs to be the only loss.
That one.
They got it out their system, and they shouldn't have lost. But today needs to be the only loss for the rest of this week.
I agree with that, man. It's just like it's one step forward, two steps back with this team. And it's like, and you bring the Bears comparison is perfect because, you know, the Saints don't got Drew Brees, and Who came? It was it Taysom Hill came out.
It was Taysom Hill. They fucking T formation us to death.
It was Teddy Bridgewater. That's what it was. Teddy Bridgewater came out dropping dick on the Bears defense, and then.
But no, I think we lost all three of their quarterbacks. We lost to him, to Jameis, to motherfucker. We lost to everybody.
I was at the game, nigga, when we lost to the Ravens backup. I remember that. I was like, I don't see Lamar on the field, and I'm one of the media guys. Bears should get this. And I'm like, you've been watching the same team I've been watching all season.
I don't even know dude's name. I can't tell you
exactly. He played like Lamar. It was a 98-yard drive to end the goddamn game. I'm with you. It's like they should win these games, but until they do it, like the thing about the White Sox, they don't do it consistently. They have flashes where they look like the team you think it was. And then also, like we're naming all the what they might not have with Minifield. They might not have Andrew Benintendi. They might not have this. We're supposed to be a World Series contender, and we out here worrying about who ain't playing in these sorry ass teams. That's the problem right there. Dante's sitting there like, I told y'all niggas.
It's really one of those things. It's like, what the fuck? Like, it's crazy. I've been feeling like this for the last 2 months, bro. Like, it's been like, these motherfuckers suck. Like at first we thought, okay, you know, it's gonna give him a benefit of the doubt. It's a
like, it really start, don't bother like, me. I envy you. Like, me and Mikey said it don't bother us. We be at home steamed. Like,
bro, and for the I people watching,
you know what I'm saying? I'm about to start giving my girl attention, G, because these motherfuckers.
I was gonna say
date nights, you know?
Right. And I'm gonna say, and for the people at home, that's why I be sitting back and letting y'all get y'all shit off, because it's like, this is all the shit this is what we are.
Like, this is what we talk about in the group chat. Like, we be going off team. And Dante just be coming in like, y'all watch them niggas? All right.
Like, y'all actually watch that shit? Like, I'll tune in for a couple innings and get the same bullshit, and I'm like, okay, here we go. We know what's about to happen next.
I'll be watching Great Man tonight since the White Sox don't come on. And it won't ruin my evening tonight. But let's talk about some other baseballs, wrap this up, man. You know, talk about niggas who actually win. Is the Subway Series game over there? Is that one over? Yeah. That's still going on.
No, it's 1-0 Mets right now in the third inning.
Okay. So who you guys would say right now would be your favorites to come out of, you know, of each conference, each league, you know, going into the World Series as of right now?
I mean, the Yankees, like, they're just on fire because as great as Aaron Judge's season has been, I know he just went to the DL, but, like, Juan Carlos has 24
home runs. Oh, he did go to the DL?
They put him on the IO.
No, Judge? No, Stanton. Stanton went
on the IO. Not my bad. Stanton, okay. Juan Carlos. Okay. Yeah, I'm saying, you know, he has 24 home runs this year, and, like, they've led the league in home runs. And like we've said, like, the teams that lead, you know, can hit home runs, you know, that's a team that you got to really, you know, that's really dangerous. So I like the Yankees in the American League and in the National League. But I'm still going with the Braves. Like, I know I could be biased because I cover them and I see them play a lot, but, like, that's a dangerous lineup. And even losing Adam Duvall. Well, you got Michael Harris II, who comes in as a rookie and is playing gold glove defense in center field. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's hitting damn near 300. Like, that's a crazy team. Like, you'll look up on the scoreboard, and they got seven people in the lineup with an OPS over 850. Like, it's a team that can score in any way you need them to. Not Adam Duvall. He just got hurt. But Austin Riley.
Every time I see this nigga, he hit the home run.
Except today when I took the ass to beat the Phillies and they fucking lost. And Sunday when they fucking let the Angels bukkake them.
Yeah. No, they're good for a one-off silly ass loss. But I think they're the only team in the league who hasn't lost three games in a row so far this season.
Who, the Braves?
The Braves. They haven't lost three games in a row at all this year. But like you said, Austin Riley's looking like an MVP, bro. Like he's on fucking fire. So I think I still like them to take over, you know, they're gonna beat the Mets.
The Mets remind me of us last year, especially the way they fans been talking. Like that's how I'm not a Mets guy. I think they're gonna go home in the first round. I don't believe in the Mets. I don't even think they're gonna win this division. I'm with Dante. I think the Braves gonna come back and win this shit. But the thing to me in the American League, I know we all sit up here talking about the Yankees, the AL still go through H-Town, bro. Like and like that the Yankees look like the monsters against everybody except for them.
Yeah,
I'm still going with Houston.
It would have Houston or the Yankees, but yeah, I would say Houston, man. I would say Houston, and I do like the Braves. I'm not gonna lie, I like them, but the Dodgers are a machine. So, I mean,
I just gotta do with the holes.
I seen the Braves might be the favorite to land Andrew Benintendi. That's gonna be nice for them. Yeah. Nice. That might be real nice for them. I see that they look like they're gonna be the ones to get him. Looks like the Mets. Looks like the Mets. Mets and Padres are the only ones after Wilson, Contreras, and they just want him for his bat. They're not going to use him as a catcher. So you know, you don't know what you're going to get back from DeGrom. I know today he had his last. They hope it was his last rehab assignment. I think he pitched like five innings, gave up like four runs, a couple strikeouts, and like 60 pitches. So I mean, we got to see from there. But I would say the Braves and I would say the Dodgers. No, I'm gonna say the Dodgers and the Astros. And so the Yankees, if the Yankees go and get Luis Castillo, and they go and get like another starting pitcher, whether they get Luis Castillo, Frankie Montas, or like a Tyler Mahe, like I think it's gonna be Yankees and Dodgers, man. Yankees Dodgers.
I mean, the MLB would love that. And this is the thing about as a guy who's been living out here for almost a decade, I got to see the Dodgers in the playoffs. I'm just keep saying it. Like, you know, I'm going to treat the Dodgers the same way I treat that bubble championship. Do it with the holes in the building. Like, it's just, I got to see it. I got to see it. Like, they're a great regular season team. I got to see them do it in the playoffs. And there's always a team that you don't expect to lose. For them to lose to, they be losing to. It ain't like they run into, like, juggernauts and shit. Like, I didn't pick the fucking Braves to beat them last year. So with them, I gotta see it. But if we want to talk about just off paper, yeah, you gotta look how equipped they are. They've been killing, and they ain't even had their pitching rotation all year. Like that's the thing, yeah. Too. The Dodgers pitching rotation has been very, you know, not there. And Cody Bellinger looks washed, and he still didn't have a good fucking week. I mean, he had a grandstand, a home run. Mookie's being Mookie. Freddie is worth every dollar they paid him. So I'm not mad at that pick. I would love to see Yankees Dodgers from that perspective. I would love to see Dodgers Astros too. I think that'd be fun too. So the Dodgers can shut the fuck up about they cheated, you know. So you know they can get to that. But you know, I look at these other teams playing good ball and I just be like, must be nice.
Yeah. I mean it must be fucking nice to trot out Julio Rodriguez and throw, and the Mariners do it right, man. They got him batting leadoff. Yep. He's getting the most at bats. You see him.
LaRusso
right
will have him batting seventh.
He'd be fucking playing 4 days. Behind Lurie. Yeah, yeah.
Lurie, we know he's young. He's young. His legs. We don't want to burn his legs out.
Giving him every other day off and shit. Yeah. Like, it's fucking joke.
I mean, let's see this. Do you guys see – okay, I mean, I think we all went chalk. I mean, I guess the Braves – I mean, the Braves are the defending World Series champions, so it ain't really chalk. I mean, right now, I think if you would poll most people, they would say the Dodgers, Yankees. Do you see any team right now that – can sneak up and have like a year like the Nationals or, you know, the Braves last year that can just come out of nowhere that's in this hunt right now and win it all?
Like coming out of nowhere? Like they're not like if y'all have a wild card team?
If y'all could pick one team, one team that nobody's really talking about that could just go, you know, who would it be?
This is going to sound contradictory because considering I called them a disappointment at the beginning of this podcast, but I would say the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, because I don't think anybody else. Like, maybe if, and like, I can't do with the Padres either because I can't go there with the Padres. There's no AL, the Mets. Yeah. You know, we expected the Mets to be good, so they wouldn't be technically coming out of nowhere. They still lead their division, so I guess it will probably either be Tampa or Toronto.
I would go Seattle because I mean, coming into the season, everybody had them. You know,
that'd be a fun storyline
competing for the division. But with that whole 20-year shit, that's all everybody's talking about. So I think that's a team that could really get in there and do damage because you know we've seen them get hot. They ran off what 14, 15 straight or whatever. So I think Seattle.
Yeah, I would say Seattle just off the mere fact when you're looking at this, you got to look at who got some arms and they got some young arms and Logan Gilbert. They got Robbie Ray. Who's the other, the young kid that pitched against us? He had like a no-hitter for like 5-6 innings.
That could be anybody that played the White Sox.
Yeah, you're right. I would say them or, I think the Cardinals too. I think the Cardinals are I think the Cardinals are a sleeper.
The thing about Seattle, that would be a fun story because I feel like people who are not even Mariners fans want to see this team in the playoffs. Like they have a great fan base. They got one of the most gorgeous parks in the league. They're one of those teams. Like when you think about them, you think about Griffey, you think about early A-Rod. You know what I'm saying? You think about shit like that. You want to see that team back in the playoffs. And that would be a fun story. It's just hard to like like, I really feel like the Yankees are coming for, like, the Yankees and the Astros is going to be, like, a battle of the Titans, bro. Like, that's going to be a seven-game classic-type series. Because I don't know, Lowe Verlander's having a Cy Young year. Like,
oh, yeah.
And for a dude to come back from Tommy John at this age, and I'm not a Verlander fan in any stretch of the imagination, he is – he's killing it.
Yeah, no, he should be
– Mike, you got your mic muted.
Outside of bro in Toronto, not Toronto and Tampa Bay, he should be the Cy Young favorite. And like you said, doing it at his age, and you know, Dusty, just the way they lost Correa and just slid the young guy in there, and they just haven't missed a beat. Or I know Alvarez just got hurt, so but what he was doing at the beginning of the season, that's a team that's it's a lot of heavy hitters in the American League. So I mean, I think, you know, and like I said, the Braves are the defending champions, but I think, you know, the American League has a really good shot to, you know, reclaim the title.
Yeah,
especially with the DH. Especially with the DH, it's a level playing field. So especially with the DH, I would say that it's a level playing field. You know, now it is. There's no advantage from an NL team or whatever when an American League team goes out there in the World Series and they got to fucking, you know, they got to bat their pitcher. It's even now. So I think it's gonna be a fun half of the season. The last half of the season, I was actually yesterday looking at next year's schedule, and that the MLB made some changes. It's actually going to be pretty fucking cool. So next year they're going to all Major League Baseball teams will play every single team from the other league a total of six times.
So
you know, the White Sox will come down to Miami here for three games. Miami will go there for three, and then I believe the majority of the division games are going to be staggered in August and September. So that's gonna be
that's fire, right?
That's
fire.
Yeah, like in
put a little more importance on the season.
Yeah, in the late part of the season, you're just gonna see an influx of games just against the division. So that's just something to look forward to next year. You know, the All-Star game just passed, and you know, it was fun for us. You know, I don't know how much you guys watched. I watched right after Buxton hit that home run, and then I was like, all right, I started watching Westworld.
I watched the whole game. I stopped paying attention after like the fifth inning, but the game was on the whole time.
Yeah. So I mean, baseball's got to do something, man, because you know, I think they had like the lowest ratings like that they've had in years for an All-Star game. So
in Los Angeles,
you
know, I live here. I forgot the game was here multiple times.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Bro, anytime you having a fucking red carpet at LA Live, which is fucking 30 minutes away from Chavez Ravine. Like,
people who ain't from LA, live in LA, or spend any major time in LA, y'all don't know how hard I laughed at that shit. Like, I put in a group chat, I'm like, these motherfuckers having a road. Like, they got to get in the car and drive another 30 minutes.
Silly,
like,
as shit. They had to get a police escort to the game. They would have been late. Like,
yeah, like
helicopter guaranteed. Drop you off, right?
That shit is funny as hell, bro. I'm like, okay, well, what are they doing? And it's just like, even with the home run derby. Now, I think home run derby was fun. Kobe was kicking my ass on that day, so I don't remember. I was in and out of sleep. So from what I remember, it was cool. But baseball's got a whole bunch of – we talk about infrastructure problems with the White Sox. Major League Baseball has infrastructure problems that they've got to clear up. And, you know, and it's a great game that I feel like should be bigger than what it is, man. And it's really a shame. Like, because fucking there's no heaven for Rob Manfred. Niggas was using the shift in the All-Star games. I was like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck are we doing? But that's all we got for y'all today. We'll be back in another three series to talk about this. I think what we're going to do for the rest of the season, we're going to mix it up. We're going to talk about the White Sox for the first 30 minutes of the podcast. We're going to talk about the rest of the league for 30 minutes of the podcast. Because honestly, there's been nothing else said about these niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Shame.
That little run is not coming. It's not coming this season. When I tell you in about 2 weeks, I'm going to be in Chicago for training camp. I won't be thinking about these niggas, okay? I'll be telling y'all, yo, Justin looked good in camp today. Justin looked good.
I need that insider info.
I gotta reread the camp guidelines. They sent us in the email to see what I can and can't put on social media. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be going to all of those practices. So, you know, I'm going to be in Chicago for a month. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to get through this month. That's a long-ass time, especially living in my mama's house.
Right, you know out of your saying? Space, out of your
but
space.
See, this is what I did, though. Shout out my nigga Murr. I got office space in his building so just so I can have a place to go.
There you go. Yeah,
so
there you go.
I can be like out and about.
That's what I do to get the fuck away from my girl. I go to work.
Right. And also, when I be recording pods, like, my mama got fucking – shit in the background and shit. Y'all might see a Black Jesus picture in the background.
You hear that train?
Yeah, right. And big ass train next door. So I'm like, nah, I'm gonna go downtown and do all that shit. But August 18th, man, August 18th. If you guys do not know what is going on, I'm gonna keep pubbing this. We have the 200th episode of 79th and Howlers. 79th Howlers Live will be Thursday, August 18th at Haymarket Pub and Brewery at 737 West Randolph Street in the West Loop of Chicago. Get your tickets right now at thebcnet.com. When you go to the website, click on the flyer. Dante put it in nice directions for you niggas. Click on the photo and you can get your tickets.
Real,
you know what
it's real simple, dog.
Real click, simple click the photo,
please.
Shout out to all y'all who bought tickets. Shout out to our VIP list that's already been put together. It will be hosted by my man JR Bang. Doors open at 5:30. Now I'm not gonna tell y'all what time the show starts because I know black people, and if I tell y'all the time, y'all gonna get there at that time. It's 5:30. Just make sure you have your ass there. After that, we got a DJ set, and we're gonna have a whole bar for the whole night. So come kick it. And for all of y'all who I know, there might be a little after party set somewhere downtown. I'm not gonna put all the details. If you got my actual phone number, then you will know what's going on.
Breaking news. It's gonna be held at Robert Quinn's vacant apartment because he will be trading.
and Robert Quinn's house and motherfucking exactly. That's what's gonna be it, man. So you know, to follow us on Twitter at Barchair Scott, at Junior_Salito, at October Zone. Tay, man, we're going to holler at y'all in a couple weeks, man. We're going to see what's going on. We out.